The following shir has been presented by Dayan Yohanesen David Hul, Dayan for the Beis Avad in Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Avad Halacha Center. This volume has been graciously dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Barry Cohn of Los Angeles, California, in memory of their esteemed brother, Rav Menachem Mendel ben Rav Yosef Yitzchak Isaac Cohn Zatzal, Baal Mechaber Sefer Ateres Avi. May the Torah studied through this volume be an everlasting zechus for his neshama.
Maseches Moed Katan Daf Yud Gimel. On Chol HaMoed, as we know, it's forbidden to do any melacha which is not necessary for Chol HaMoed itself or for Yom Tov. There are a few exceptions to this. The classic exception is Dovah HaOvud, a situation in which if one doesn't do melacha immediately, a financial loss will result. For example, in the classic example, flax has been put in water to soak. It needs to be soaked for a certain amount of time, but it can't be left there for too long. If it's left too long, it will get ruined. And now one finds oneself on Chol HaMoed in a situation when his flax has been left in the soaking for quite a long time, and now it must be removed. If you don't remove it today, it will be destroyed, it will be ruined. He can't wait till after Yom Tov. That's a situation of Dovah HaOvud. So even though he doesn't need the flax for Chol HaMoed or for Yom Tov itself, if he doesn't attend to it now, it will result in a financial loss. Under such circumstances, it is permitted to do Melacha on Chol HaMoed. However, that's only if one finds oneself in a situation where there's a Dovah HaOvud on Chol HaMoed. One is not allowed to plan to find oneself in such a situation. So, for example, if you knew before Yom Tov that you have a situation of Dovah HaOvud, and you could really have removed the flax then, but you decide to push it off till Chol HaMoed when you have more time, that's forbidden. Chazal said if you're in a situation of Dovah HaOvud, you're allowed to do the melacha, but you're not allowed to plan to put yourself in a situation of Dovah HaOvud on Chol HaMoed. And so says the Mishnah that is based on the base, for chulonim chidnu melachton b'moed ye'ovedu. If anybody deliberately plans that he should be in a situation of Dovah HaOvud on Chol HaMoed, he's not allowed to do the melacha. And ye'ovedu, if he does do the melacha, that's how the Rambam learns up upon him, if he does the melacha, it should be destroyed. Chazal allow you to have no benefit from this melacha, and it's either destroyed or made hefka so that anybody else can come along and take it. It's a knas chachamim, it's a fine for the chazal, because although you're allowed to do a dov ovud on Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to push it off until Chol HaMoed, and if you did so, chazal will fine you that if you did the melacha on Chol HaMoed, even though it's then a dov ovud, you would have no benefit from it. And the Gemara at the end of Daf Yud Beis on the base has a shayla rabbi asub zera. If someone did this, he deliberately pushed off a dov ovud to Chol HaMoed, and then he did the melacha, he's not allowed to have any benefit from it. But what happens if he dies and his son inherits everything that he owns? Is the son allowed to have benefit from it? Did they find the father only, but not the son? Or did they find the father? Once they find the father, his Yerushim may not have any benefit from it either. And it would either be Hefka, and other people could take it or destroy it, but not the son could have any benefit. So that's the Shaila. Did they make a fine, because I'll fine him and his son in the event that he dies, or just him himself? So the Gemara says, "In Timtzol Eimet Tzaram Ozen Becher, Konsum Benayacharov Mishum Tisur Daraisa." The Gemara says we find a parallel, another case where Chazal fined someone for doing the wrong thing. A firstborn animal is called a Becher, and it's got Kedushas Karban. However, if it has a mum, if it has a blemish on it, then it may be eaten by the owner. It is forbidden to make a mum, to put a blemish deliberately on the Bechor. Says the Gemara, if somebody deliberately made a mum on the Bechor, then Chazal said he's not allowed to have any benefit from this Bechor. Although in our Torah, since he's got a mum, he's allowed to have benefit from the Bechor. Since he went against the Torah by putting a blemish on the Bechor, which is an Issa D'Oraisa, Chazal made a kenas that he can't have any benefit from it. So the Gemara, if you say that in such a situation we would find not only the father, but even if he died, we would find the son, and we would not let him have any benefit from this Bechor either, I could still explain that that's only because the Issa that he did is the Issa D'Oraisa. Now, Torah is forbidden to put a mum on Kochim. But in our case, since min HaTorah, Dabar Ovid is allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed. Chazal said you're not allowed to push it off deliberately to Chol HaMoed. It's a Drabonon. If you went ahead and did it, and then did the Malacha of Dabar Ovid on Chol HaMoed, it's only a Drabonon. It could be that Chazal only put the Knas on him, but if he died, his son would not have the Knas. So this is a Gemara. The Gemara has a Shakl of a Torah. The Maskons of the Gemara here in Yud Gimel Amud Aleph is that Lididei Konsul Rabbonon, Livrei Lo Konsul Rabbonon. Hal Ochol HaMoed, Chazal were only Konus the father. If he dies, the son inherits it, and they did not find the son. The Bir Alochin, Simon Tovkuf Lamed Ches Zivov, quotes a discussion regarding an interesting alocha, which the Beis Yosef brings from Rab Nemuchi Yosef and Rabbeinu Yeruchim Meshem Yesh Meforoshim. They say that our whole sugya discusses only a case of somebody who pushed off a Dovar Ovod till Chol HaMoed and then did it against the rulings of Chazal. What about if he did a malacha which you're anyway not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed? Not a Dovar Ovod which he could have done before Yom Tov and he pushed off to Chol HaMoed, but a Dovar She'ein Ovod which is forbidden to do on Chol HaMoed. In that case, also, Chazal would not let him have any benefit from the malacha once he's done it. What about if he died? Would we make a kenas on his son? Says the Nemuk Yosef and Rabbeinu Yeruchim, our Gemara, which says in this passing on Lachon Amayza, in Simon Tov Kuf Lam Kes, that if he pushes off a Dovah over to Chol HaMoed, we make a kenas on him, but not on his son. That's only in such a case. But if he did a Malacha, which is not a Dovah Ovod, which is anyway not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, then not only do we find the person who did it, but if he dies, we find his son, that he's not allowed to have any benefit from it either. The Beis Yosef quotes these opinions, but he disagrees with them. And he proves from our Gemara. He says, our Gemara says that even if you say that someone who made a mum on a Bechor, we make a knas on him and on his son, that's only because it's an Issa Deraisa. That was the Gemara's suggested limud, and Gemara says that's only because it's an Issa Deraisa, but Issa Derabana, maybe we only make a knas on him and not on his son. So the Beis Yosef, Halacha L'maisa, it's only Nimtim Sodom, Halacha L'maisa, someone who makes a mum on a Bechor, in fact, even though it's an Issa Deraisa, the Maskonos HaGemara in Bechoros is that we actually do not place a Knas on his son, even though it's an Issa Deraisa. But if that's the case, then certainly a person who does a Malacha Chol HaMoed, there's no reason to assume we will take a Knas on his son. Now, even if the Malacha Chol HaMoed is an Issa Deraisa, and some do hold like that, and Rabbeinu Yeruchim and Sheni Yesh Meforoshim seems to go with that, that there are opinions who hold that Malacha, which is not a Dovah Ovid, is forbidden in our Torah to do on Chol HaMoed. Nonetheless, Halacha L'maaseh with a Bechor, if you put a Mum on the Bechor, which is a Deraisa, we still find that we only kenas the father and not the son. So why should it be that in the case of a person who does Malacha on Chol HaMoed, we should make a Knas on the father and also on the son? As a result of this kasha, the Beis Yosef rejects this opinion. The Taz and the Drisha do try to explain the opinion of Nemuchi Yosef and Rabbeinu Yeruchim, and they say that this is actually worse. Someone puts a mum on a Bechor, he's done an Issa Deraisa, but he's only done one Issa. Here, in effect, a person has done two things wrong in Rabbeinu Yeruchim's case. First of all, before Yom Tov, when he had the opportunity to do this Malacha, he didn't do it, and he left it deliberately for Chol HaMoed. Secondly, when it came to Chol HaMoed, he went ahead and actually did the Malacha, which is forbidden to do on Chol HaMoed. So it's Tarti L'Reisa. He's actually done two things wrong, and that's why the Chazal were more severe, and they made the Knas on him, and if he dies, they even made the Knas on his son. However, the Bir Alochah says this Teres is Doche Godel, he says, to combine the Machshav of Hom before Yom Tov and the action on Chol HaMoed and make that Kilu, it's two different in Yonim, and as a result it's called Tarti L'Reisa. The Mamma Modcha and the Chem and Moshe also Doche this Teres of the Taz and the Jusha, and they say that Rabbeinu Yeruchim is Tzorachim, because they say that it's not really Tarti L'Reisa. If in the Gemara's case of Dovah Ovud, I can hear that there's a possibility of saying it's Tarti L'Reisa, because Chazal said if you could do the Dovah Ovud before Yom Tov, then don't push it off to Chol HaMoed. So if he did push it off to Chol HaMoed, that's already one thing wrong. Then when he goes ahead and does the Dovah Ovud on Chol HaMoed, since Chazal said you're not allowed to do it now because you pushed it off deliberately to Chol HaMoed, he's done two things wrong. However, in Rabbeinu Ruchum's case, we're talking about a malacha which anyway you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, because it's not a Dovah Ovud. So all he did wrong was he did that malacha on Chol HaMoed. The fact that he may have thought about it Erev Yom Tov has nothing to do with it. It's not something which he could have done before Yom Tov and pushed off till Chol HaMoed. Because even if that's the situation, there's nothing to do with the Etzem Malacha. The Dover Ovud, which he could have done before, and then he pushed it off. There's a machshava which is incorrect. It's a wrong machshava. He did the wrong thing by putting himself in a situation where now he's going to have a Dover Ovud on Chol HaMoed. So we can look at that as a reyesa. But if a person anyway can't do it on Chol HaMoed, the fact that he planned it before Chol HaMoed to do it on Chol HaMoed is the chore, not an extra inyan which can add up to make it into a tautil eresa. So this is the maimon. Modcha and Chaim and Moshe, and therefore, as a result, they also reject this Rabbi Yeruchim and this Numuk Yosef. The Mother of Rom, in Simon Tovkuf Lamaches, Sikkot and Base, does attempt to answer this Rabbi Yeruchim. And he said that, first of all, we're talking about the opinion who holds that the malacha which is not a davar avod is forbidden to be done on Chol HaMoed min ha-Torah. And if that's the case, says the Magen Avraham, nearly the domi la'isa malacha b'shabbos cha'osur lo la'olam b'hu adin nivnoi. This is comparable to someone who does a malacha on Shabbos b'mezid, where the halacha is that he's not allowed to have any benefit from it, and hu adin, his son, is not allowed to have any benefit from it either. Where do we find this? Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos and Simen Shin Yud Ches Sif Aleph says, "A mevashel b'Shabbos, someone who cooks on Shabbos, or she also achas b'shar melachos, who does another melacha min ha'orayis on Shabbos, but made it, he does it deliberately. And apart from the punishment that he gets, the result of the melacha that he's done, for example, the food that he's cooked, is also lo la'olam. He may not ever have any benefit from this food, not on Shabbos, not after Shabbos." But for other people who were not involved in this malacha, they may have benefit from the result. But only after Shabbos are they allowed to have any benefit from it. So this is the Shulchan Aruch and the Shin Yud Ches Sif Aleph, a Hilchos Shabbos. Says the Magen Avraham, so it would appear to me that Rabbi Yeruchim and the Numuk Yosef are holding that the halachos of Chol HaMoed, malacha of Chol HaMoed, if they're also in our Torah, are similar in this respect to the melachos which are also in Torah on Shabbos. And just that we find, that someone who deliberately is mechallel Shabbos, Chazal made a kenas that he cannot have any benefit from the results of his melacha, although others may, he may not, so too on Chol HaMoed. Chazal made a gzeira that anyone who has, who deliberately does a melacha on Chol HaMoed, which is also in Torah because it's not a davar avud, may not have any benefit from it. And the Magen Avraham, and just like we find that by Shabbos, if someone does a malacha mezid, not only may he have no benefit, but his son may also not have any benefit, although others may, other people who are not related to him may have benefit. So too, by Chol HaMoed, that's where Rabbeinu Yeruchim got his halacha from. By Chol HaMoed also, someone who does malacha on Chol HaMoed, which is not a davar avod, so it's forbidden min ha-Torah, not only did Chazal make a kenas on him that he can't have any benefit, but if he dies and his son inherits him, he also may not have any benefit from the results of this malacha. So this is the Magen Avraham. However, Beis Meir, quoted by the Bir Halacha, asks on this Magen Avraham, and he says, I don't understand. Where did the Magen Avraham get it from? That by Hilchos Shabbos, if someone does a malacha, not only is it also to him, but it's also also to his son. The Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Yud Ches, just says that Mevashel b'Shabbos, or he does another malacha, but made it also lo la'olam, u'la'acherim muta. It doesn't say there that when it's also for the person who did it, it's also also for his son if he inherits it. Doesn't say it there. So the Magen Avraham says, how do we know that by Chol HaMoed, if you do a malacha d'oraisa, not only is it also for him, it's also also for his son? We learn it from Hilchos Shabbos, where one, if one does a malacha, it's not only also to him, it's also also for his son. So the Beis Meir, but who says, then Hilchos Shabbos is going to be also for his son also? It doesn't say that. Says the Beis Meir, perhaps the Magen Avraham is following his own opinion there in Simen Shin Yud Ches, when the Magen Avraham adds that not only is it forbidden for the person who did the malacha, but it's forbidden for the person who he did it for. So, for example, if Reuven cooked food on Shabbos b'mezid for Shimon, then it's forbidden for Reuven to have any benefit from it. It's mutter for anybody else to have any benefit from it after Shabbos, but not Shimon. Since it was cooked for Shimon, the kenas that you can't have any benefit from it not only goes on Reuven, but it goes on Shimon as well. So this is the Magen Avraham nearly. Where do we find such a context to the Magen Avraham? in Yerudea Simon Tzadik Tes Sif Hei. There, the halacha is the aim of vatlin is to chatchila. If you have something which is forbidden and it falls into a large amount of things which are mutter, there is a concept of bittul b'rov. It becomes nullified in the majority, and the whole mixture becomes permissible to eat, depending on how much there is, when it's dosin tam, but this is the concept of bittul b'rov. However, the Shulchan Aruch there says, in Siman Tzadik Tes, that you're not allowed to lechatchila do a bittul b'rov. That means to say, if you have something also, you can't deliberately mix it in with things which are mutter in order to permit the whole mixture. If you do so, then Chazal made a kenas and said, even though Meikar Adin, it's now bottle bereav and the whole mix becomes mutter, since you did it deliberately and Chazal asked you from doing that, they made a kenas that you can't have any benefit from it. There, in that case, in Yeridea, the Shulchan Aruch says, before, not only can you not have any benefit from it, but if you did it for somebody else, he's not allowed to have any benefit from it either. Other people may, but not the person who did it and not the person who it was done for. So it says the Morgan of Rome and Hilchus Shabbos, the same thing would apply for Melechus Shabbos. Someone deliberately did a melocha on Shabbos min HaTov, amazing, not only is he not allowed to have any benefit from it, but the person who was supposed to have, it was supposed to have been done for, may also not benefit from it. The Morgan of Rome himself says there, in Hilchus Shabbos, it is not so clear that it can be a kabarabol. It might be that only in the case of Yerodea, Veim Levatlin Isla Chatchilam, do we say that we make a kass on the person that was done for as well. Because in that case, the chashash is that since it's also for the person to do it himself, the chashash, he might ask a goy to do it for him. And then he would have thought that he can do anything wrong and he can benefit from it. So Chazal said, no, the person who was done for as well is also not allowed to have any benefit from it. Well, that would only apply there, in the case of Ein Levatlin Isra Lechatchila. In the case of Hilchus Shabbos, we don't need to make such a gezeira, because there's no chashash that you're going to ask a goy to do it, because anyway, if a goy does a melacha for you, it's forbidden to have any benefit from it till after Shabbos b'chadeshi yasu. And we're certainly not choshish you're going to ask another Jew to do a melacha for you, because he probably won't do it for you, because ain't other melacha to blow loy. So the Morgan of Rome himself says that it's mashma from the Beis Yosef that only in the case of Ein Levatlin Isra Lechatchila do we make a knas on the person who it was done for as well. But anyway, the Morgan of Rome certainly has a havamina and seems to be leaning towards the possibility that if someone cooks on Shabbos, not only is it forbidden, the resulting food is forbidden to him if he cooked b'mezid, but it's forbidden for the person it was cooked for as well. So as a Beis Meir, perhaps that's what the Morgan of Rome is referring to as well. When he says that it's a dovah poshet to the Morgan of Rome, that someone who cooks on Shabbos, not only is it also for him, it's also also for his son, he's going to, according to his own opinion, holds that it's someone who cooks on Shabbos, not only is it also for him, it's also for the person for whom it was done. And therefore, every person who cooks, it's ke'ilu, he knows that in the event that he dies, his son will inherit it. And therefore, it's as if it's been done for his son. And just like it, for the person it was cooked for, it's also forbidden, so too for his son. And therefore, says the Morgan of Rome, we find by Hilchus Shabbos that the Achazal Asad, someone who did the melacha, they asked the result on him, and therefore they asked it also on his son, and so too by Chol HaMoed, and that would be the explanation of Reuven Yeruchim. However, says the Beis Meir, this is very difficult, because if Reuven cooks for Shimon, we know it's done for Shimon, we'll forbid it on Reuven, we'll forbid it on Shimon. But if Reuven cooks and then dies, why should we say that Reuven knew that he was going to die, or assumed that he might die, and therefore it's as if he cooked it specifically for his son who's going to inherit him, and therefore Chazal also asked it on his son? There's no reason to assume such a thing. Even if we were to adopt the Morgan Avraham Shitta in Siman Shinyus Ches, someone who cooks on Shabbos is forbidden to him, and for the person he cooked it for, it still wouldn't follow that it would be also on his son. And therefore, so the Beis Meir, I don't know where the Morgan of Rome got this concept from, that someone who does an Issa, not only do we make a ban on him, but we make a Knas on his son as well by Hilchus Shabbos. And therefore, if we don't find by Hilchus Shabbos, I don't understand the Morgan of Rome, who learns Hilchus Chol HaMoed from Hilchus Shabbos. And therefore, concludes the Bir Halacha, since most poskim seem to argue with Rabbeinu Yeruchim, and with the Muki Yosef Lacher, it will not be La Halacha, and therefore, if someone did a melacha which is awesome in Torah on Chol HaMoed, there will be a kenas on him, but it would not be a kenas on his son, just like the case of the Gemara of a Dovah Ovid, which was deliberately pushed off to Chol HaMoed, where Chazal in the Maskonos of Gemara made a kenas on the father, but did not make a kenas on the son if the father dies and the son inherits it. However, it is interesting to note that there is such a concept elsewhere of Chazal making an issur on a person who does something, making a knas on someone who does something wrong, and banned the son as well from having any benefit from it. Indeed, in Siman Tzadik Tesif Hey, in the case of Eimu Vatlin Issur Lechatchila. Again, Shulchan Aruch says Eimu Vatlin Issur Lechatchila, and if you did it, it's going to be also not only if you did it with Mezuzah, it's going to be also not only on the person who did it, but also on the person it was done for. Says the Taz in Siman Tzadik Tesif Kotan Yud, quoting the Yamsha Shlomo in Chulin, that not only if a mokem or also loy, when Chazal asked this of Eimu Vatlin Issur Lechatchila, they asked the result on the person who did it and made it, also gam kein ibnei beisai. It's forbidden not only on him, but it's forbidden on anybody in his household. Kein pirish rash al shom. So we do find that, at least by Eimu Vatlin Issur Lechatchila, the concept that it is in fact also Chazal made a kenas not only on him, but also on his bnei bais. If that's the case, perhaps that's what the Mogen Avraham meant in Siman, in Hilchus Chol HaMoed, where he says that, just like we find by Hilchus Shabbos, they asked on someone who does a malach on Shabbos, they asked on him, they also asked on his son. The Mogen Avraham adds at the end, V'ayim Yerodei Siman Tzadik Tes. It's possible that this is what he's referring to. We see there, at least in the Tazbos HaShem the Marashal, that not only did Chazal asked in the case of Eimu Vatlin Issur Lechatchila, the results on not the person who did it, they asked it on all his family, as well as the person who it was done for, they also asked it on his bnei bais. Maybe we can learn from there that by Hilchos Shabbos as well, if someone did a malach of amazing, not only would they ask it on him, they would ask it also on his bnei bais. And therefore, by Chol HaMoed, we would find the same concept, that since he was over a malach of derais on Chol HaMoed, not only would it be also on him the results, but in the event that he died and his son inherited him, he also would not be able to have any benefit from it. So at any rate, although the Beis Meir says there is no makor for Hilchos Shabbos asking on the son as well as the father who did it, nonetheless, we see in Yerodeah by the Sugya of Eimu Vatlin Issur Lechatchila, there is such a concept, at least according to the Maharshal. But at any rate, as we said, most poskim seem to reject this Rabbeinu Yerucham and say that even if a person did a malocha, which is also ben Torah, b'mezid or Chol HaMoed, we would only make a knas on the father, but if he died and the son inherited him, he would be allowed to have benefit from it. Just as an interesting addition to this, the Beis Meir asks another very strong question. And he says that although all the poskim disagree with Rabbeinu Yerucham and the Muki Yosef, and they say that in such a case we would not make a knas on the son, they all seem to agree with the basic premise of Rabbeinu Yerucham and the Muki Yosef, that there would at least be a knas on the father. And it's to say, if someone deliberately does a malocha, which is awesome in HaTorah on Chol HaMoed, he would not be able to have any benefit from it. Since the Beis Meir, I'm not so sure that that's the case. Although our Gemara says clearly, and it's mentioned in the Mishnah that is based on the Beis, that someone who deliberately pushes off a Dovah Ovud till Chol HaMoed, is not allowed to do the Adova Ovod then on Chol HaMoed, and if he does so, Yeovedu, the result should be destroyed or made hefker, and he's not allowed to have any benefit from it, a kenas midrabbanan. That's only in the case where Ba'etzin the Malacha is Mutter min HaTorah, because it's Adova Ovod. Chazal said, if you could do it before Yom Tov, don't deliberately push it off to Chol HaMoed. And if you did so, we're going to ban you from doing it, even though it's a Dovah offered now, Chol HaMoed, and if you nonetheless went ahead and did this Malacha, we're not going to let you have any benefit from it. But if you did a Malacha Doraisa, we don't find in the Gemara that Chazal would make a ban on you to have any benefit from it. Now, obviously it's much worse, someone who does a Malacha Doraisa, than someone who does a Malacha, which Be'etzim was Mutam in HaTorah because it's a Dovah offered, but it's Osman Rabbanim because he deliberately pushed it off to Chol HaMoed. Nonetheless, as the Beis Meir, we find this concept that someone who tries to do a haroma and get around the Yisurim of the Torah or the Yisurim Drabbanan, Chazal was sometimes more machmir and they made a knas on him that he should not have any benefit from the results of his work. Even though when a person did an Issa, which is bemazed an outright Issa and not a haroma, not a trick to avoid the Issa, Chazal didn't place necessarily such a knas on the results. Where do we find this concept? In Beitzot sort of Dav Yudzayin on the base. Then the Gemara says, Rav Ashi gives a Torah to Mikmar, HaRomah Ko Omrat. Rashi explains there, someone who does a haroma, does a trick to get around the surim of the Torah, chazal machmir more than if he deliberately was over an issa of the Torah or the rabbanon. Why, says Rashi, din umezid, Rosha who lava al dibe hachovim. Someone who's amazed, he's a Rosha. Explains Rashi, first of all, we don't need to be concerned that other people will learn from him, because everyone sees that he's a Rosha. He went against the Torah. Furthermore, since he knows he's done an Avera, there's a chance that one day he'll do Teshuvah. But someone who does Haroma, who does a trick to try and avoid the Isurim of Chazal, or the Isurim of the Torah, he will not do Teshuvah, because he thinks he didn't do anything wrong. And furthermore, there's a sakana that other people will learn from him, because they're not going to learn from a Rosha who's deliberately over the Torah, but they might learn from someone who does tricks to try and get around the Torah. And therefore, if someone who does haroma, says Rashi in the Gemara in Beis, Daf Yud Zayin Beis, Chazal are more machmir, they put a knas on the results of his haroma in order that he should not benefit from it. Whereas, if he did it isav b'mezid, Chazal did not put a knas in that case there in Beis on the person. Says the Beis Meir, so although in our sukkah we find that someone who pushed off a dovah avod till Chol HaMoed when he really could have done it before Yom Tov, and he went against Chazal in that respect, and then he went ahead on Chol HaMoed and did the malacha, Chazal put a knas on him, and then the Gemara says they didn't put a knas on his son, but they certainly put a knas on him. It doesn't necessarily follow that if a person did a malacha deraisa on Chol HaMoed, the mazid, the Chazal would also put a knas on him. So says the Beis Meir, an interesting ha'ara, that although all the Rabbein Yeruchim and the Muki Yosef go so far as to say that if a person did a malacha b'mezid, not only do we put a knas on him, but we put a knas on his son as well, if the man dies and the son inherits it, the son also can't have any benefit from it. All the poskim dispute this and say we would only put a knas on him, we would not put a knas on the son in such a case. Says the Beis Meir, that everyone seems to agree that at least we'll put a knas on him, says the Beis Meir, that itself is a kiddush, because there's certainly mokum to say that we wouldn't put a knas on him either. Although the Gemara says we put a knas on someone who was over an issa of pushing off the davar of the tilchon amoy deliberately, that's a haroma. And in that case, the Gemara says we make a knas on him and he can't have any benefit from it. But it wouldn't necessarily follow that someone who was over an issa b'mezid, we would also put a knas on him, that he would not be able to have any benefit. And l'leik divrei kol haposkim, there would be mokum to say that in such a case, Chazal will not actually put any knas on the person himself.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.